Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, Twilight Productions, and Twilight Entertainment presents The Rod Stevie Show, your source for inspiration and information. And as always, we're broadcasting live from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C., where the lies and secrets are held. And what we do each and every week, we tell you what the lies are, we reveal the liars, and expose the secrets, so that way we can build better communities. And as always, we're brought to you by Tranquil Mind by Rod Massage and Wellness. It is Labor Day weekend, and no better way to unwind this Labor Day weekend than with a health and wellness massage session. If you're running right now, athletes going out trying to stay healthy, stay active, and it's with massage, call if you're in the district, Maryland, Virginia, 240-778-5219. You can tweet me at rstv44, or you can go online, facebook.com/tqmind, to schedule your next appointment. And this is Summer Madness. We are back from our summer vacation. And there's been so many things that have been going on throughout this summer that show that there's a lot of madness going on throughout the country and throughout society. And it's really impacting how we are communicating with each other, how the future of this country is progressing, or can you say regressing, depending on how you're looking at it. So we're going to talk about some of the different things that happened since our last show back in June. And the first thing I want to talk about is just the face of the nation right now. The nation is just so confused and so in a way that it's trying to find out exactly what direction it wants to go. And a true case in point is the presidential race that is already starting. As people know, the Rod Stevie Show likes to follow closely the presidential races because they do have a direct impact on what we do in the future and what our society and what our country plans and goals are for the future. So with that in mind, when you see that the presidential race right now is being led, it shows that one, I guess you could say people are tired of the same old political status quo. But two, we're so tired of political status quo that we're going to go for someone who definitely does not have the capacity to run successfully for president of the United States outside of financial means and name. If we try to base name recognition on the fact of who's going to be president of the United States, and that's pretty much what this presidential race is all about right now, name recognition. You have a Clinton, you have a Bush, and you have Donald Trump pretty much just stealing the show in regards to who is the head of these polls, who's leading in these polls, who's the one that they're talking about the most. Not about policies. We haven't even talked about policies yet. We're just talking about right now just name. Who is the loudest? Who's the one that stands out the most? And I think that's going to be a big problem if this is how the election is going about. And people are jumping on the Trump bandwagon. People are saying that, oh, Donald Trump knows what he's talking about. You know, he's going to be good for America and all this take America back crap that he puts on his marquee. And the things that they feel that he is strong on is the fact of immigration, is the fact of economic, and the fact that you know exactly where he's going to come from because he's going to tell it to you, you know, in your face if you want it or not. Is that always a good thing? Is that, you know, politics is a game of chess. It's not a game that you can just be right in front and show everything, pull all your cards out there, because what that can do, if you do that, then one, the strategy will be lost. Two, you got a lot of people that don't appreciate the brashness and the arrogance of Donald Trump. And when it comes down to international affairs, when you have somebody that can't control his emotions, can't control what he or she wants to put out there, you know, they fly off the handle immediately if someone goes against them, like a Donald Trump, like a Chris Christie, then that is bad for America on an international scale. And then you got to look at the national and the local front, and you're talking about someone who, you know, knows how to make money, but that's great and all, and, you know, he's got all these people riled up by immigration, but when it comes down to local social needs, you know, when it comes down to, you know, Planned Parenthood, coming down to different social things that are needed for community and for society, you know, making sure the Medicare, Medicaid benefits are paid for the seniors, making sure that people have the health care that they need. You know, this is something that the Republicans are really just going in there trying to shut down. Donald Trump understands, at least in point and in part, that some of these social needs are necessary, and you can't just shut it down because you're trying to save money. So that's one thing, you know, he does realize, but still, he's still not the person that is presenting it in a proper way. And then on the Democratic side, you're hearing just Hillary Clinton and all about these emails and what emails she had that are classified, that's not classified, what's on her BlackBerry. Is that really the serious and important aspect of this race? If it is, then we have a really big problem, because we've lost some focus on what's really important. And that brings me to the next part of the madness here, talking about hashtag Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, a lot of the politicians, a lot of candidates have ducked the Black Lives Matter movement, and Black Lives Matter has actually tried to force their wills onto the political campaign, you know, let the candidates know that they are out there and they're trying to prove a point. However, there are certain steps that the movement has to realize. Now, they have a strong in-your-face approach as well, where they're shutting down campaigns, they're shutting down rallies, and stepping on stage and trying to make sure their voice is heard, of just being in your face, just like I said about Donald Trump. You know, if you're always constantly in the face and really trying to bully the way through the campaign rallies and the campaign organizations, then what happens is the point will get lost on certain people that may not understand what Black Lives Matter is about, may not, you know, that the people that you're trying to generate the resources. Because there are a lot of people that want to find out what the policies of Black Lives Matter, what agenda that Black Lives Matter has. But it has to be done in a way that people hear it. Then once again, you got to play the game. And that's what Black Lives Matter has to understand in order to try to make sure that the game is played properly, where people in the, you know, in the areas that can force change can understand where they're coming from. You know, this is more than hashtags and signs. It's about understanding the strategy and creating an agenda to stop a lot of the violence that is going on in our cities, in our communities. It's just becoming more and more violence is becoming more and more rampant in our communities. In Washington, D.C. alone, 108 murders this year, 108 homicides. At the same point this time, Labor Day last year, 2014, there was only 73. So there's already been 35 more murders in Washington, D.C. alone compared to this time last year. Increases have gone up in Baltimore, in New Orleans, in Chicago. You know, all these cities have seen major increases in violence. And it's not just police violence that we're talking about here. We're talking about violence amongst ourselves and our communities. And we have to accentuate the fact that, yes, Black lives do matter on all levels, and we have to make sure that we are cooperating with different organizations to try to stop the violence in our communities and try to open up dialogue so that way we can build and focus on ourselves to the point where we can say, hey, we're doing our thing to try to to try to stop the violence in our community. So that means that we're helping with ourselves and we're working an inside-out approach instead of going after Bernie Sanders and saying, what can you do? You know, we have to figure out what we can do for ourselves to make sure that we're stopping the violence in our communities. Therefore, we have a strong mindset to go to the other venues and other avenues that are trying to destroy our community and say, hey, we're doing our part. What are you going to do to step up and make sure you're not violating our rights and violating our equality? So that's one big thing that, you know, that you see with this madness that's going on. And once again, this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toilet Productions, Toilet Entertainment. And the phone number, the phone lines are open, 347-850-1228. If you want to voice your opinion on any of these topics that we're talking about, we're talking about summer madness, basically the things that happened over the summer. We talked about the presidential race. We talked about how Black Lives Matter is affecting the presidential race and how it's having an impact on the thoughts of what's going on. I mean, there's so many different things that has just been sparked since the summer. The whole Freddie Gray incident, that was one of the last shows I did prior to the summer vacation. And right now the trial is starting. The motions are being heard. After Labor Day, there's going to be a big push when it comes down to how they're going to try the officers who are involved in this case. Now, people are saying they should all be tried together. Some people are saying they should be tried separately. And I think the key thing is making sure that they're in the proper venue where there's going to be a fair and equal trial. And I feel that this case should be tried separately. There are officers in there that were neglecting, you know, that were neglectful, that were negligent in a lot of the different factors of what they did. There are some officers in there that have direct involvement in the murder of Freddie Gray. There's some that have indirect involvement, and you cannot try them in a big lump sum because what will happen is that will cause a mistrial. And if you have a mistrial, then that will really just put a damper in the whole case because of the fact that, one, certain officers will not be able to be retried. Two, certain officers who are less involved in what occurred will probably take a higher brunt of the punishment than those who are actively involved in the murder. So that's why it should be tried on an individual basis in Baltimore County possibly, but may have to be distributed to Howard County as well or another county in Maryland, so that way there is a fair and equal trial. And the equality is definitely very important. We're seeing more and more of these cases are being tossed out in Charlotte with the officer, once again, one of those random shootings, officer-involved shooting, person gets murdered, and once again, the case gets thrown out. You know, same lack of evidence. We're seeing this time and time again, and that shows that there's got to be a sweeping change in the justice system. Sweeping change in the justice system, and it's going to have to be a stronger movement involved to make sure people's eyes are more open to what they are. Right now, we're becoming very desensitized to a lot of things that are happening, and that's a big problem. On the flip side of that, there's a growing number of people that feel that the Black Lives Matter is a hindrance to equality. And I'm talking about this. I've actually had discussions with a couple people in regards to this, Caucasian people that feel that the Black Lives Matter movement is actually increasing racial tension. And this was a very interesting conversation that I had with a person that he feels that by saying Black Lives Matter, he feels that in essence it is devaluing other lives, especially white lives, because he feels that basically he's saying there's no Black Lives Matter movement is trying to make it where there's no good white people. That's what he feels. He feels that white people are being attacked. And when you see how they're planting the seed in there, like the case in Roanoke, Virginia, in the case of the guy that posted on his Twitter that we need to kill all white people because Black Lives Matter. When you see these seeds being planted in the minds of especially Caucasian men that are hearing this, thinking that, okay, things are about to turn violent, we need to start loading up our weapons. That's what the mentality of quite a few white people, and I really appreciate the gentleman. I don't want to say his name on the air because I didn't get his authorization to say his name, but I appreciate his honesty in the fact that he feels that there is a surge of, he feels that white people are being threatened. And what's happening now, you're seeing these increase in gun shows all across certain communities. You're seeing this increase of gun sales, especially in the Caucasian community. And what that's going to do, that's going to create a very big battle on our hands within the near future because people are arming themselves afraid of how these movements are going to go. And that can spark a big powder keg by the end of the summer, going into the fall and winter, when it comes down to a lot of these cases being tried, and if things don't go a certain way, there's going to be a big battle in the streets. And that's a very dangerous thing. So we have to realize that there has to be a way to effectively create change in our community. Nonviolence has been a staple for a long time, but maybe there's a means that has to be more aggressive, more assertive, but at the same time still have to play the political game. A lot of this is going to be a factor in the next few months, especially when we weed out who is going to be a candidate, a serious candidate, who's not going to be a serious candidate. The candidates are avoiding this, the whole topic of equality at all, because it's just too much of a high-paid topic. And speaking of equality, that goes to the third aspect of the madness, how we're seeing things change in regards to equality in the workplace, equality in the schools, and that is from gender equality to transgender equality to the whole marriage section that is going on right now. Since I've been off the air the past couple months, it has been, the Supreme Court has cleared the fact that every state is supposed to allow same-sex marriages. And we see this case in Kentucky where a woman says it's her religious belief that she will not marry a person of the same sex. Now, this has become a big issue because of the fact she's a magistrate of the court. So separation of church and state is, of course, the big thing that this country claims that they're founded on, even though the country has really enforced the church into the state beginning of this country, the quote-unquote founding of the government rules of this country. So for this woman to say this is her religious belief, she should not, by religious belief, be able to marry, be legally forced to marry people of the same sex, got to realize that there is some laws that need to be enforced as well by the state. And if she has issues with that, then she may want to redirect that to her superiors to say that I'm going to do my job as a magistrate, but there are certain things that I will not do. You don't just say, no, you can't get married because I'm in here and I think it's against my religious beliefs. That's when you say, okay, let me find a magistrate that will assist you. There's more than one magistrate in that county, I'm sure, or there's more than one clerk that can administer the licensing. And it's not even about the marriage itself, it's about administering the licensing. So there should be another clerk in that community that should be able to administer licensing. And that's a big thing. And that, when it comes down to, once again, state regulations, you're seeing now an increase of confusion when it comes down to the transgender community, because they don't fit in really the heterosexual or the homosexual community because they're right in the middle. A lot of the transgender community, are men that are, taking the female hormones, women that are taking the male hormones, not getting the full surgery in order to fully transform themselves, if you will. And, of course, there was a big thing about Caitlyn Jenner, and Caitlyn Jenner is know, is being vilified in a lot of essence by the transgender community because they're what Jenner is doing is making it more difficult in a lot of avenues for the transgender community because he's rich, he's privileged, he's spoiled, he's never really had the plight of a lot of people who are struggling with their identity. You know, he's been Bruce Jenner for a long time, and he's lived a certain lifestyle, a secluded lifestyle where he can just come and go as he pleases. There's supposed to be this big interview with him and Matt Lauer in the upcoming days where he's going to try to talk about, you know, his struggle. But his struggle is from a rich white perspective, not where a lot of these people are really struggling internally about their identity when they do come out, the violence and brutality that is coming from their, you know, from people who, you know, are not, you know, who are not in favor of this. You know, that's the extreme side of it. The violence and the brutality should not happen for any human being, regardless of their sexual identity or sexual orientation. With that in mind, there are certain cases where the transgender community has tried to impose their will, like I was saying with the presidential race, just like I was saying with the Black Lives Matter, trying to impose their will on society without looking at the bigger picture. And that case comes down to the schooling system and how you have transgender children in the schools, and a lot of schools are actually trying to accommodate them by getting them unisex restrooms. And then there's this case that this one transgender child says, I feel like I'm isolated, and I'm going to go to the girls' bathroom because that's where I feel comfortable, and I should be able to do this without any backlash. And that's not fair to the other children. That's not fair to the other girls that are trying to, you know, just go about their daily activities and daily lives and have to be forced upon to automatically accept that there is a person that is still a male going into their bathroom because of the fact that they feel like they have this right. And that's the thing. There's certain levels and certain limits. Yes, respect should be given and administered to everybody. But there is a point where that respect becomes, where that boundary is crossed, where you're taking something as, since you have to respect my wishes, then I can do whatever I want. And that's the problem. And that's where the problem comes, and that's where I think a lot of people have issues with the way things are going, with the way with same-sex marriage is going, the way with the transgender community, you know, is going. They want, but they don't want to give the respect back to those who may not see the way they do, may not understand their lifestyle. So respect has to be given in order to be earned, and that's something that is still the big battle when it comes down to those particular situations. And once again, this is Rod Stevie Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. Thank you for joining us back on the show. And we have a lot of different topics that we're going to go into this fall because there's so many different things that are going on in this community and so many different topics upcoming. And it's just been so crazy with, there's a lot of different situations that are going on. There's just so much madness in all levels when it comes down to politics, when it comes down to religion, when it comes down to just even the way, even just some of the things that are just going on in society in general. That people don't want to see. You know, the way our children are absorbing the news, absorbing information, things are just so desensitized right now that even something as serious and severe as a shooting now has become blah. When something as serious as, you know, like just even just taking things for granted, just these drones flying all over the place, these drones that are disrupting airlines and risking airlines' lives, people don't realize how that is a major impact on our society. know, everything is on a microscope. Everything's on a, you know, everything has to be instant, has to be viewed, has to be scrutinized. And what happens is when you have a society that is so desensitized to things, but at the same time they want to, but at the same time it's overly sensitive, and when it comes down to language, it creates a problem because we are so touchy and so personal on our feelings. When somebody says something, everybody has to watch what they say. Is that nobody can really truly express how they feel, because if they do truly express how they feel, they have to retract it, rescind it, because that's not the politically correct thing to say. People can get mad at me about, you know, talking about Black Lives Matter right now. It's not politically correct to say the Black Lives Matter movement needs to think about some of their actions before they go forward. You know, it's not politically correct to say that transgender and homosexual community needs to respect other people's wishes and not impose their will on people. You know, people have an issue when it comes down to everything they say, parsing their words, that is to the point where you can't say, you can't do anything without being scrutinized on a major level. And that's where the destruction of this country is going. The destruction of this country is to the point where everybody is afraid to say what they want to say, to the point where nobody's going to say anything, and that way nothing gets done. That's why Congress is to the point where nothing is getting done. That's why the president now, going into his eighth and final year, he's stepping up and saying and doing things that he probably wouldn't have done 4, 5, 6 years ago. And then you have people like Rubio, like Ben Carson, you know, who are trying to make moves, but they're getting blown out by somebody saying, I'm not politically correct. But political correctness does not mean you have to say everything that is on your mind. Political correctness is, or political incorrectness, is saying that, okay, I'm going to voice my opinion, but I'm going to do it in a manner where people understand where I'm coming from. My voice is being heard. And once we figure out how to correct that, once we figure out how to change that element in society where we can get back to the point where we can openly voice our opinions and not hide behind a Twitter angle, not hide behind a Twitter feed, not parsing our words in that end, or trolling people to the point where, no, you're not even trying to say anything proper. You're just trying to spark some sort of argument or spark some sort of rage. And that's what's happening with a lot of people. Rage is being created by those who are just intentionally trying to instigate. And instigation of these riots, instigation of these different problems is a major factor in how it's affecting our politics, affecting our religion, affecting our society in general. Kids are killing themselves over people instigating acts over Twitter. I mean, that's the sad part, because now, one, you got people, these children, our next generation doesn't know how to talk to each other, don't know how to talk about each other in a respectful, even a disrespectful manner. There's nothing, you know, the teasing and bullying used to be called, you know, just to snapping on people back in the day. Now you can't tease a person without, you know, wondering if the child is going to commit suicide. You know, we have, you know, all these different aspects that is really causing problems in our community and our society. We're going to touch on a lot of these topics going into the rest of the fall, into the rest of the year, and moving into 2016. So once again, this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toy Entertainment, and thank you each and every week for listening to our show. We are going to have Love Talk. Labor Day tomorrow, we're going to have Love Talk on Tuesday. So we're going to have that this week. If you have any topics that you want me to discuss, please let me know. Tweet me at RC44. You can go on Facebook.com/Rodney Stevenson. And until next time, we'll talk.